It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, a lovely day here. And take a little insurance out on the baby. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about. A little insurance policy here. And maybe things will just work out. So a couple things we're going to be talking about, but there is one particular one especially. And I want to, in advance, thank the listener or the reader or the agitator or whomever it may be for thinking of us and sending an actual letter regarding a nomination of Governor Iges, and he's appointed and waiting for the confirmation. And that name is Linda Chu Takayama. And some of you historians out there or people that have a little age under their belt and watch all of these things are familiar with this topic. I'm not very well versed in this subject. I'm familiar with it. It got its birthplace occurred, and the date was in 2011 with Iniki, the hurricane. And it involves the liquidation and filing of claims and what have you. And Ms. Chan Takayama, Linda Chan Takayama, had a lot to do with that. And we're going to basically, rather than inventing anything and creating and becoming artistic or poetic, I'm going to read specifics from the Star Bulletin and the Honolulu Advertiser, that these are articles that talks about what is going on. And I think that in comparison to Carlton Ching, we were up in arms about Ching and really couldn't say what he had Don that raises questions other than his affiliation and association with development, and he's a lobbyist, but if you look at anybody in government, you know, you have to ask yourself who goes and get a doctorate or a PhD or a master's and go and get a business license to come back to work for a government for pennies. Who does that? And they want it to be independent. And so you would think not to belittle the system, but you just have to scratch your head. So, and people who go get law degrees to gravitate back to state and government agencies when there's that whole big world out there of litigation where millions can be made in one case, if you understand. So this listener, and if you're out there, please, 524-1080 is the number, and we'll be talking. And before I go to that, for those of you out there that have drank the kava and the Kool-Aid, with his new appointment, the governor's new appointment with Chase, from Nature Conservancy, there's not a perfect world, folks. Let's applaud him for the introduction and the appointment, but there, let's not hold her to the same test. And there's a lot of, as we've talked about, privatization occurring in DLNR and occurring in government. But primarily, my focus is on the DLNR and what is being done, how it's being watered down, the rules, though it's legislative mandate or constitutional mandate. Many people gravitate to that position and to the DLNR in particular in looking for private employment, but they have their own agendas, so just be aware of that. And I do have experiences with the Nature Conservancy and have great concerns about the grants and things that she would be handling. Will she be dealing directly with the Nature Conservancy, and what's there to be guarded against monies diverted or directed to the Nature Conservancy, and what role will they play in having direct access and shaping the policies and the laws and what have you that is to protect the resources? Will they be all-encompassing and embrace the fishermen, the hunters? What will they do? Because, you know, problems come with the person with the agenda. So anyway, but let's go back to Linda Chu Takayama. And I get this letter the other day, and I'm going to, as I say, I'm going to try and read, and I have a little bug in the throat, but we're going to put a bug in your ear or the governor. If you have direct contact with the governor, call him up and ask him, hey, can you rethink this nomination? That's what I'm going to do, and maybe you'll join in. Once you hear of what is occurring. But the author of this letter that was sent to me and the information sent me several articles that were Star Advertiser, and we'll give the specifics. But the letter starts off, it is a shame that Ige's, quote, building home, and that building home refers to his State of the State speech about building homes for our kupuna and our children and what have you, includes preserving the, quote, good old boy and girl. So it is a shame that Ige's building home, quote, includes preserving the, quote, good old boy girl, quote, network, allowing political hacks to perpetuate a system of self-dealing and corruption that has transcended Hawaii politics for years. Takayama's appointment clearly demonstrates that political cronyism is alive and well in just yet another round of failed promises by the same system where Ige offered change and improvement in government. Takayama's tenure in serving government ended when she was fired in October 2003 by State Insurance Commissioner J.P. Schmidt for her complicity in a success fee scam undertaken by her law partner, Gerald Chan. Gerald, J-E-R-R-O-L-D, Chan. And I encourage you to write that down and go to the website or go to the internet and type that in. This is not to mention the author writes. This is not to mention shady self-dealing details, how she and her law partner started a practice on an HEI insurance case supervised by herself while serving as insurance commissioner. What is Ige thinking about Hawaii and his Takayama appointment? Expletive. So we have that letter, and I'll just read you, and I'm going to be very cautious not to inject or describe this in my words, or because the advertiser and the Star Bulletin had already have done a great job in detailing this, and we'll just go through it. On April 12th, I'm sorry, for updated, it was October 21st, 2003, the headlines, ex-state insurance official targeted. That's referencing Takayama. Takayama denies knowing of theft. That's the second article, written October 22nd, 2003. Former insurance commissioner denies knowledge of alleged fraud. That occurred October 22nd. And these are from the Honolulu Advertiser, and the earlier one was the Star Bulletin. Another one from the Star Bulletin, December 14th, 2004. Lawyer gets 10 years for $7.9 million client theft. Chan diverted money from firms he was helping to liquidate. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Yo, what's up, Carol Cox?
Yeah, you have a comment or question?
Not really.
Okay, well, have a good day, all right? Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Well, just one. Her tenure did not end because she is still on the payroll for the city and county.
Well, I know. Okay, well, thank you.
That's just one comment.
She is now actively. Is she still or did she step down?
Well,
because she's now nominated,
as of the last week, she was head of the Department of Economic Development for the city and county of Honolulu. But I don't know if she has, in the last week or so.
Okay. Well,
I'm content to listen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So the article goes on, Senate Minority Leader Fred Hemmings, this is for 21 October 2003, says that answers are needed to, quote, serious questions about the role of former state employee insurance commissioner Linda Chu Takayama, a Democratic Party insider, played in the liquidation of two bankrupt insurance companies following Hurricane Iniki. J.P. Schmidt, the insurance commissioner under the new Republican administration of Linda Lingle, agrees even though the liquidation was unusually successful, and the state stands to gain a windfall of up to $15 million. The liquidation was handled by Honolulu attorney Gerald Chan, who last week was arrested on three counts of felony theft and allegations that he diverted more than $12 million from insurance claims and creditor settlements resulting from the 1992 hurricane that devastated Kauai. Takayama, as an insurance commissioner, won court approval in 1993. And this is key, folks. Listen to that. She won approval. And maybe we'll describe her as the shepherd. And she didn't know that the wolves would eat her lambs or sheep. But she was the shepherd. She saw fit to ask the courts. And Takayama, as insurance commissioner now, won court approval in 1993 to assign the liquidation of Hawaiian Underwriters Insurance Company and United National Insurance Company, subsidiaries of the Hawaiian Electric Industries, subsidiary the Hawaiian Insurance Group, HIG, to the McCorston Miho Miller Mukai law firm, where Chan was assigned to handle the case, said Hemmings. Now, again, her partner, this is a friend of hers, and she asked the court, says, I don't want to belittle your thinking and attention here, but just in case I'm stumbling, Takayama, as the commissioner in 1993, asked the courts to assign the liquidation of Hawaiian Underwriters to this company that I just named. Takayama, an attorney in 1994, resigned as insurance commissioner to become deputy director of the Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs. Now, the question is, did Schmidt remove her because other reports say he fired her, basically? She later joined Chan to start their own law firm, Chan Chip Chase Takayama Nagatani, taking the liquidation case with them, said Schmidt, who has filed a civil claim against Chan seeking the $12 million for the state. That case doesn't name Takayama. So interesting, Takayama, when she leaves the commission and then in turn joins up with Chan, and they started their own law firm. And this very case that she petitioned the courts to have it allowed for liquidators, then also had it to go to a certain law firm. Then when she joined this law firm with her partner, she, in turn, they took the case with them, leaving Mark McCorston, Mukai, Miho. Now, there is clarification. There was a report said that Takayama worked for McCorston, but she did not. That was clarified in the article. Takayama did not immediately return a call seeking comment this morning, and this was in the old days. I don't know what they mean by did not immediately. She also did not return repeated telephone calls seeking comment on Friday or yesterday. I guess they needed some space filler for that one. But at some point, private attorney Takayama, with the court's approval and probably because of her familiarity with the case, was appointed as a, quote, deputy liquidator. So that's an interesting step. You know, she's a commissioner. She petitions the courts to have it assigned as a liquidator. She then somehow it went to a firm that she favored that just apparently her friend worked there. Then when she steps down from these other positions in her official capacity, she then joins Chan and they take the case with them. Now, I'm not saying anything, whether innocent or guilt or what have you, but we're just going to repeat what transpired. And in doing so, this should be enough seed to cause the governor to take an action and open all files, conduct an investigation and a review, and then maybe she could be determined whether she's suitable or not for this Department of Labor position that she is up for. It raises some questions, he said. This is Schmidt. Until we get the files and look at it, I'm not sure whether it's improper. If it was improper, then we need to know whether it then led to any improprieties because of the conflict or not. End quote. A deputy liquidator is responsible to the judge overseeing liquidation and is paid out of funds from the liquidated company, Schmidt said. Schmidt said that the files with details and the HUI Unico liquidation have been subpoenaed in the criminal case against Chan and are now sealed. Quote, we are working to get access to these documents, he said. A question that has to be asked is, during the tenure of Linda Chu Takayama's partnership with Chan, was she a beneficiary of the business she assigned to him? Directly or indirectly, end quote, Hemmings said on Friday. She can claim I never collected a direct commission, but what did she collect? And maybe in the near future we'll try and get Mr. Hemmings, see if he would be amenable to giving us any comments. However, if you connect the dots, There's a lot of politics and conflicts of interest in it, end quote, he said. I'm confident the Attorney General and Insurance Commissioner are going to do what should have been done a long time ago regarding the improprieties in the insurance industry, end quote. Takayama, who is closely allied to U.S. Senator Daniel Inouye, is a former top aide in the office of the U.S. Senate Sergeant at Arms. She is also a member of the Board of Governors of the East-West Center and is chairwoman of the Hawaii Food Bank. Her husband, Greg Takayama, is a partner, a reporter for KHON Television News in Honolulu and served for 12 years as Inouye's press secretary, followed by 3 years as press secretary for the then Lieutenant Governor Ben Cayetano. In 1999, she was named to a 4-year term as one of 78 public interest directors of the Federal Home Loan Banks and is registered with the state as a lobbyist for Abbott. These are things that are giving a little background on her. The Attorney General's office launched a criminal investigation of Hui Unico liquidation after the internal investigation by Smith's office found that Chun negotiated substantially lower payouts for 3 claims and then kept the difference from the original claim amount. Takayama says she knew nothing about this, but yet she was appointed by the courts, and she petitioned the courts to have it transferred. I've said that over and over. And then she became the deputy liquidator who was supposed to be reporting back to the courts. And this isn't just child's play, but she claims to have not known anything about Chan's actions or the whereabouts of the kala or the money. The Attorney General's office launched criminal investigation and liquidation. Schmidt's office found that Chan negotiated substantially the lower payouts, I said. After the hurricane Iniki hit in September 11, 92, homeowners and property owners flooded the two companies with claims that overwhelmed their reserves, at which time HEI said it would not provide additional capital, which resulted in a circuit court order granting Takayama's motion for the state to take possession of the companies and their assets. So she's a heavy hitter. I mean, to steer that kind of and know when to apply pressure and know when to file as deputy and know when to petition the courts, but she didn't know anything about the books or if the books were being cooked or if the money's being diverted or pocketed or what have you. And this is a partnership that she has. Now, you the listeners out there, can you please assist me in understanding? If you are that much involved, am I wrong to think that you would and should have known because of your official capacity and the court relationship? You're serving as an agent of the court, and you petition the court for that role. And then this key point, you don't know about the money. 524-1080 is a number if you have a comment or question about it. You have a comment, Marcia?
I want Uncle Joe to call because he knows her well.
Knows her well. Does he know this well?
I don't know. That's why I want him to call.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he's listening.
He's been closer than I have, so.
Okay, well, how close have you been? What do you know about it?
No. I'm listening because I'm amazed. I knew none of that.
Yeah.
I have just known her, you know, because of her involvement in the Democratic Party.
Well, she's only going. She can't come and puncture your tires out. Don't fret. She's she's no threat to you. She's
I know that.
She's just a human being waiting to be appointed.
What I know is her actions within the Democratic Party, and so I'm listening like all of your other listeners because. I have no idea all of this in things going on within this insurance thing. My God, I'm sitting here just stunned.
Well, I'm going to petition you to go to be a carrier to the governor and say, Governor, take down that name.
I will forward.
You'll be the Ronald Reagan of the Pacific.
Like I said, I have known her within the Democratic Party. For instance, she was the chair of the unity rally, last year,
Okay. Well, that's taking me off subject right now.
No, I'm trying to tell you that.
I know, but I don't want to know how she cooked. I don't know, Carol, I don't want to know how she baked cookies or what flavor she liked. Let's stick to this. If you have something related to this.
But I want. No, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm intrigued, I guess.
Well, let me mark down. She's a good person, and she's active in the Democratic Party. Okay, let me go on with this.
No, that article said that. You read that.
I know, so we don't need to repeat that.
We don't need to repeat that.
In April 1993, Takayama, then insurance commissioner, filed a complaint against HEI. So she filed a complaint against the folks on behalf of the creditors and policyholders, alleging the company had misled the public about its financial support of HIG and had mismanaged and drained HIG's financial assets. Isn't that curious that she's chasing an industry and companies and saying that and petitioning the courts and alleging and bringing and that they are mismanaging their monies and all, but she doesn't know that her friend, a partner in business, a partner in crime, I would say, I don't know what he was doing. He committed a crime, he was committing a crime. She didn't know any of this, but she knew what was going on with HEI and how they mismanaged things. Am I too suspicious?
No.
So in February 1994, HEI agreed to pay a $32 million settlement to reduce the anticipated $73 million deficit faced by HIG subsidiary. Smith said Chun did such a good job in liquidating the assets of Hui Unico that not only will the policyholders will get their claims, the state general fund could end up with a potential windfall of $10 million to $15 million. Quote, this liquidation is very unusual and will be able to pay 100% of the policyholders, end quote, claims. He said, sometimes they not only get 10 to 20 cents on the dollar. Schmidt said Chun doesn't dispute that he received $12 million, but claims former insurance commissioner Wayne Metcalf had verbally approved it as a, quote, success fee, end quote, to be paid on top of his hourly rate for negotiating smaller settlements to creditors. The way I read that is that he was allowed a success fee if he was able to screw the policyholder or the claimant and nickel and dime them and get them to take a lower rate. So it was to give him recognition and reward him for screwing the public. That's the way I read it. I don't know. Please tell me I'm wrong.
Well, no, I don't think you're wrong because, you know, ordinary insurance claims, right? You pay them every month, and then when it's time for them to pay you, they don't want to do that. So that just sounds like the culture of insurance companies.
Mm-hmm. This is the culture of the insurance company. This is Chan, who is a former liquidator, appointed liquidator by the courts. He's an agent of the courts acting out. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be the companies. It's being the government's agent is sticking it to the people.
Mm-hmm.
For a piece of the pie. That's what was really occurring. It's not I don't want to indict the companies. They're at the mercy of these ticks. You see? That's what's really going on. The fact is, if all the money returns, it does not mean that a crime has not been committed and does not mean from a civil perspective the state has not suffered damages that need to be recompensed, Schmidt said. So that's the first article, and many of them are just repetitive in the language, and I do apologize but when you read this, it gives you, I think, you know, it's like selling someone something. You tell them once, you tell them again, and then you tell them what you want them to hear. Well, you told them again, so however that is said. But this article, October 22nd, 2003, Takayama denies knowing of theft. The former insurance commissioner's ex-partner is accused of stealing $12 million. Now, I always like that. You know, you ever notice if it's in the schools, a teacher molests a child, rapes a child, a police officer shoots somebody, and the next report is the ex-police officer, the ex, you know, it's as if that's an exoneration. I think that if you're doing it under the colors of your authority, then you are just that. And it doesn't matter, but semantics. I want to know where the money is and how she was able to operate and do all of these things on behalf of the courts and as an agent of the courts, yet had blinders on. I would just, that in itself should be insulting to say, gee, how should we trust you now as a labor director? If you, your own friend, or your own buddy, after you've been all of the sophistication and the application and applying for a deputy liquidator and petition the courts, and now you want to be our labor commissioner. Imagine, folks, in my opinion, what that brings to the table.
Well,
for labor.
Yeah, and I'm talking about labor, or the labor, Department of Labor. Now, is her appointment the head of the department?
Director. Yeah, that's the only thing that,
now,
that he nominates.
Okay. Now, the state has been notoriously bad with workers' comp, and that
mm-hmm.
is the Department of Labor.
Mm-hmm. So what are the implications?
And the payouts and what the state, you know.
Yeah, so the listener out there.
I'm asking then, if that's what we bring to the Department of Labor, does the Department of Labor get cleaned up for all of the horrors? And I've listened to you for years, and people complain about what they've been through with the Department of Labor and those things.
Mm-hmm.
So my question then is, are we getting, what are we getting, I guess is what I'm asking.
You're asking me? It sounds like we're going to get screwed.
Okay.
I mean, it's you know, if she's already in a position, she's demonstrated that. It's inexcusable that in her professional capacity, and as many times she's been around the ring, I'm sorry. There's just too many things that are glaring, and with these articles, to make an excuse is one thing, but to make it have a plausible explanation is another. But then polishing your little amulet on your shoulder, saying I have the expertise. My concern here is that there is workman's compensation, there is compensation to the workers. The insurance companies, and we know that, as you've said, we know that it's flawed in many, many, many occasions. And then what about unemployment and all of those things? I don't know to what degree the labor director plays in this, but we already see that she can and has connections. And can we trust this? Can we trust Iggy's appointment? Can we trust his decision? You know, it's not a Carlton Ching matter. It is, this lady has been basically found guilty and was removed as the documents, these articles reflect. But anyway, in the Star Bulletin, October 22nd, 2003, former State Insurance Commissioner Linda Chu Takayama said yesterday she has no knowledge about the alleged theft of $12 million from two liquidated insurance companies by her former law partner. Is it possible that you can be in partnership with a law firm and not know? My question, and I'm ignorant to these things, do you have to reconcile the books, and when it comes to taxes and report your salaries and costs to the IRS and what have you for tax purposes? I don't
it
know.
It seems to me that's a lot of money. I've never had that kind of money, but it seems to me that that's a lot of money, and somewhere it's documented.
Yeah, well, we're going to ask. That's why I'm saying the governor should, before moving any further, and the legislators, before they take another step, look at all the records and do a complete investigation and find out what happened to the so-called criminal investigation, and why was it that in some instances Ms. Takayama's name was not mentioned? Did they find enough to exonerate her and sort of clear proof? But anyway, as she said, she will cooperate with the state's investigations into the matter. Takayama, top Democrat, we've said that. Commissioner Schmidt about her role after the left office in liquidation bankrupt insurance following a hurricane. Schmidt appointed by Republican. There's one point here that I had underlined, and I've read the earliest from another article. Just kind of interesting. They repeat the same. I get facts of facts of facts.
Mm-hmm.
So Schmidt said that Chun does not dispute that he received the $12 million. And we've reported that. But the problem is, where did the money go? Where did it go? And if you look, one article says it was $7.9 million in client theft. But Takayama, an attorney, and again, 1994, insurance commissioner. And then she became the Commerce Consumer Affairs. Well, in that job at the Commerce and Consumer Affairs, they also deal with insurance. And if you go online and just Google her name, you will see where she was the signature on a number of the HRSs or Hawaii Revised Statute regarding the insurances and what have you. Takayama said the State Judiciary Office Disciplinary Council found no conflict of interest when it considered her situation several years ago. So apparently the ODC reviewed her case, and she's saying several years ago about this, but this article was in 2003. She said, Jerry Chan was once my partner, but we have not been in good terms since my departure from the firm in 1999. So she was on this matter from 93, or actually, 93 when she petitioned originally, to 1999 she departed the firm. So 6 years of invested time, and she doesn't remember much and didn't know that he was stealing? I can't say she did or didn't. The correct information provided by Schmidt is McCorson said yesterday that Takayama was never employed by his law firm and that Chan was only one of four attorneys in the firm who handled HIG rehabilitation and Hui Unico liquidation. Quote, while Mr. Chan was part of the team that led to that result, he was not solely responsible for it, said McCorston, adding that before Chan left, taking the wind-up of the Hui Unico liquidation with him, more than $60 million had been recovered by the team, earning the law firm commendation for its work.
Okay. Quote,
he left our firm in the early 90s, and the proposition was put to us that he and Linda Chu Takayama would be taking the Hui Unico case with them, he said. I understand politics, and I understand that Mr. Metcalf may have had a number of reasons to do that, he said, referring to then Insurance Commissioner Wayne Metcalf. Quote, the commissioner, the former Insurance Commissioner Takayama knew about the cases, and Chan obviously was knowledgeable about the cases, McCorson said. Our firm was offered a continuing role and I declined. Our firm had nothing to do with appointing Linda Chu Takayama as a special deputy liquidator. That happened after she left the state and joined Chan. It was our idea, nor our recommendation, he said. This is McCorston. So imagine that finagling, and I'll describe it as finagling. I'm sorry, and shepherding. And yet at the end of the day, she knows nothing. The article didn't say that. I said that. Schmidt said that because of the criminal cases against Chan, many of the records on the liquidation have been sealed, but said Takayama's becoming a partner with Chan and then being appointed by the court as the state's deputy liquidator in the case raises some questions, end quote. Based on the finding of Chan Zavetsky, Smith recently terminated Takayama's role as deputy liquidator and will look at whether that relationship was proper once he can look at the files. So isn't that funny? This big thing's going on, and yet the commissioner, who wants to investigate can't look at the files because there's another investigation going on.
Oh, and somebody sealed. The files are sealed.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think that this is something the governor should immediately abandon. Just a simple thought of having her. And then that also, I wasn't aware of this, but that speaks also to Caldwell's integrity, because he's with the PRP, and then now he has this lady sitting on her staff that is revealed. Hey, what is this? As a person that sent this in, you know, a system of self-dealing and corruption that has transcended Hawaii politics for years. Can I get an amen? 524-1080 is a number.
Yes. I'm listening, and for me not to have something to say is amazing. But I'm just.
No, I'm amazed.
I don't know what else to say.
No.
Yeah.
There is once again, you know, and let's hear how people chime in on this one, you know, and we're dealing with that the royalty of Hawaiian politics. You see, King Daniel Inouye, former King Daniel Inouye, God bless his soul. These people had direct ties with him. And that's not to say he had anything to do with any of this, but a lot of the times in politics, the people that works around them, they have that relationship and they act out, never with the knowledge of the senator or the person that's heading the office. It's just that people take liberty of applying themselves and pushing themselves onto people and into circumstances to benefit themselves. But again, this is a person that's part of the system that we always find ourselves complaining and bitching about.
Yeah.
Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Yes.
All right. Sounds like another extension of the rail.
All right.
All right, brother. Keep plugging.
Well, let's see if we can call the governor and ask him. What to do, all right? Well, go ahead, Marcia. You were about to comment.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that I cannot defend Inouye. I was agreeing with you that so many people that worked for him or were close to him do things, and then people say, oh, that's one of Inouye's people. Oh, that's one of Inouye's people. And let's not, you know, that's Inouye's people. So you get the benefit of the doubt, even if, like you said, even if he didn't know, there was always, oh, that's his, those are his people, those are his wishes, whether he knew it or not.
Yeah.
Well, and so I'm agreeing with you on that one. You know,
well,
he couldn't possibly know all the stuff that people did in his name.
Okay. Well, but again, I want to adhere to
and it
this.
Works. It works.
But, but the trick is that they can, how they parlay all of this power, or mana, or influence, and broker it, and find themselves in city government. You don't see them going off to form a worldwide global company where they can really show their expertise in financing and all, right? Why do they just gravitate back here and to simply say a measure of their, if they are really as smart as they present themselves, why the hell we got to ride around on bumpy streets and broken sewer lines and defunct infrastructure, on and on and on and on. Homeless, why do we need these people if they're so good at what they do? Self-serving is what it's about. That's the self-serving. And, you know, once again, folks, this is not a campaign speech for the Republicans, because you better with caution when you deal with them, too, you know. But when you put all of your eggs in one basket, they may hatch and you don't know what the hell you're going to get. You might get a hybridization of a politician and a thief or whatever it is. And this is in this town is what goes on. Everybody hunkers down.
I have witnessed in my lifetime where you can tell when a person whips their pet or are violent with their pet. A pet hunkers and tucks its tail and never looks up with bright smile and, you know, and shaking that tail, wagging that tail. 90% of the people in this state share the same mindset or the same, the fear. Most of them have their tails tucked, looking down, and when you dare speak out and say, look, we can fix this, oh, you better be careful, man. They'll kick you in the ass. They'll do you in. They'll burn you out. They'll kill you, you know. And really, killing me softly with $12 million, I'm interested in seeing that story unfold, but it never unfolds. They just move them up. They appoint them to higher positions. Isn't that neat?
Yep.
Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
I'm listening to your show today, and it sounds to me like it's a whole ball of wax, and this state and that $1 billion grant and no talk about it. Where does it go? It's all, it sounds like it's all part of the same thing, just like these $8 trillion that left with Bush and no one heard from that. It's a big conglomerate thing, and this state fits into the corruption very well.
Okay.
That's all I want to say.
Hey, thank you for listening. Thanks for calling. Marcia, you got anything while I find my place in this race?
Like I said, I don't know all the details of how these things work, and so I have been mesmerized just listening to all of this and how the money's moved around. And since that time, how all of these names of everybody that you mentioned, they all resurface in some other position.
Mm-hmm.
And there's surely in a state with 1 million-plus people, and some brilliant people.
Mm-hmm.
Surely there's some new people out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I do apologize in advance for this description, but how many of you are out there ever done any gardening and where you go and you get this good seasoned horse manure and you use it in your garden and you put it around the plants, and then the next day or 2 days later you go out there and you got mushrooms done popped up, right? So I guess the moral of the story is wherever you find crap, you'll find the brilliant people in government.
Well, I'm still, my question is still, all of these marvelous people that live in this state, surely there can be some new people in the government, in Ige's cabinet. All of the people so far are retreads, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Surely there's some new people.
But,
or do they not want to be part of government? Is that it?
No. You don't. Did you? Let me ask you. Did you see Caldwell make an open gesture to the world to solicit people to join on his force? Yeah, that lazy process of okay, we got openings, and you know, and put your names in the hat. But then when the names go in the hat, you look who was selected, you get an idea. Well, wait, if you open it up to the world, then how the hell do we end up with the same people?
Well, that
answers the question. It's something that's perpetuating itself, and it is predetermined by these people, this clique, this royal class of people in the Democratic Party. And, you know, we talk about the Bush and the Clinton families and Bush Clinton in royalty. Come to Hawaii, you'll see a whole different breed of royalty. You know,
yes,
a complete different breed of royalty. Royalty and no shame. Where a guy who goes around and kicks the homeless in the butt every day, out of the parks, off the sidewalks, can't urinate here, can't do that, and then raises the taxes with such glee and happiness, and then in turn spends it improperly. And when you look to see what is he paying for taxes, well, my house is a historical house, so I only have to pay a small amount, which is about $300 a year.
$300, yeah.
I don't know if it's a year, but you understand. So when we look at all that, that's just Caldwell. Now, the question comes is that how then do this person move from Caldwell's administration to Ige's administration? And I think I know, because they all come from the same pile of politics.
Well, now, she and her husband were really close in the Ige campaign.
Okay.
Her husband, you know, is a state legislator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but anyway, I want to get to this other letter. And again, when we step back and look at everything, we have to ask ourselves, who are they serving? You know, really, who are they serving? Do they have the best interests of the people in hand? We see that they were able to get enough money, and then $12 million to save. Imagine how many people that could have covered that filed their claims, but they boast about how they were able to reduce the claim amounts per person while pocketing. I think that's so offensive. But anyway, the Star Bulletin, December 14, 2004, writes, lawyer gets 10 years for 7.9 million client theft. Chan diverted money from firms he was helping to liquidate. It sounds like he really liquidated them.
wait a minute. See, now you're way in over my head. So, if I make a claim and I had damage in Iniki and I made this claim that my house, what I lost, was worth such and such, it's going to cost me that much to rebuild, then does he come along and say, look, I'll give you, you know, a dollar to a dime, right?
Mm-hmm. What the guy said earlier, he said that it was, normally they get 10 to 20 cents.
So I am left with no house, no anything, and you're going to give me less. So how do I rebuild, I guess is my question.
Well, I'm glad you raised that, because that was one of my notes to say, well, if she did know, then, and if we're worried about, well, why would we pick on poor little Linda Chu Takayama? Why would we do that? And she's not here. Well, we do that because she didn't know, but she's the one initiated that and delivered us to the dragon for slaughter. And now she's back wanting to put herself in another position. And so what? It was a $12 million, but how many people were really ripped off, and how many people were impacted financially by her lack of oversight that she sought from the courts and was granted? Make me the sheriff, and I promise you I'll enforce every law, I'll reduce crime, I'll do everything. Well, ma'am, crime is rampant. Sheriff, everything's people breaking the houses. Crime is rampant, and our streets aren't safe. Oh, okay. Well, appoint me to another position, and I'll fix it. That's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I'm not defending her, but we really should get what we vote for. We really should. If this thing is able to go through, and with the legislators not vetting us and the hearing committee not vetting it, then I think we deserve it and should get a little more of it, because, you know, if it's tolerated, then it must be desired. Because,
well, you know, you're right. And with the very low turnout, most people said, oh, I'm not interested. But then we get this, and then you're right.
Yeah.
This is what we voted for.
I say this to everybody that claims that they are a Democrat. I'll say this, and you can be pissed off at me forever.
No, of course not.
I'll say this. If you claim that you're a Democrat, then you, in this era, in this town, in this fashion, then you're just completely out of touch. Completely. Because there's no way that all of this can occur. Day in, day out, traffic breaks down, and they say, oh, we took one part from the other part. And you Democrats sit here, and I'm a Democrat too, but boy, I wish I could change my colors and, and become a river rat or whatever, because none of it works, it seems.
None of it. Neither side.
I'm beginning to want to grow a tail and ears and just crawl off into some hole and live where the rest of the rodents live, because it's sickening when we see constantly, and we have people, I'm the Democratic caucus for this, and I'm the Democratic caucus for this. Well, when are you going to take a bite out of crime? When are you going to start caucusing and get these people that are ripping us off internally? When? They're not here. They're not skilled to do that. They're skilled at ripping us off and steering us down a path to take from us as so-called Democrats. You see?
Well, I'm just, like I said, all these intricacies are just amazing.
Yeah.
And you're right. Nobody paid attention. Nobody said, hey, I asked. My house is gone. I'm lost, and this is what you're doing to me.
Well, where's the governor? I mean, did he not? I mean, let's ask this question. Governor Ige, in the process of vetting and deciding who you would appoint, is your system or process so inept or inadequate that this would not be? And if he were to say, oh, we knew about that, then Governor Ige, where are your ethics? Because no one would advance this person any further than the back door to tell them enough is enough. You've had your chance. You've demonstrated what you're about. It doesn't say you did anything illegal, but by golly, you know, every time the cops kick the door in, here's this person there and sitting at the drug houses or whatever. And come on, we need to draw a conclusion that either this party has the oversight and is inept and can't perform the job, and should we trust her again with this? Give her another shot at it? Or we could imply, or does it suggest that she did know, but nobody really went far to see, and maybe they did, but they sealed the files? The Gerald Chan, a Honolulu attorney, was sentenced to 10 years in prison. This is this article of December 14, 2004. Yesterday, for stealing, right? Not a success fee, but stealing $7.9 million from insurance companies in liquidation after Hurricane Iniki struck Kauai in 1992. Gerald Chan, 56, pleaded no contest in August to three counts of first-degree theft, unlawful ownership of operation of a business, and 10 counts of money laundering. Now, this was a business that she, Takayama, was involved in. And he was accused of operation of a business and 10 counts of unlawful operation and ownership. He was accused of diverting $7.9 million to himself on three occasions in June and July 2003 from Hui Unico in Liquidation, Inc., two insurance companies that were taken over and merged by the insurance commissioner after claims exceeded their availability. Now, in fairness to Takayama, she said she left in 1999 because they were on bad terms. But again, how could she shepherd all this and then just walk away? He was accused, and Chan was assigned to help liquidate the assets and continue to work when he formed his own law firm, Chan and Nagatani. Now, I don't know if this is the occasion where Takayama formed it with him and went with him, but defense attorney Brooke Hart argued that Chan believed he was entitled to the money as a bonus for the work he had done for Hui Unico, taking the companies from $70 million deficit over a 10-year period to a point where they showed $20 million surplus. Chan was also diagnosed with a bipolar disorder. Oh, okay. Well, that in that 1999, that affected his ability to judge between right and wrong. Oh, wow. Contributed to his belief that he was entitled to the money. Wow. Did you hear that?
I love it. I love it. Okay.
Okay. Now I know what's ailing the system here. Everybody's
Everybody's got it. Yeah, everybody's bipolar.
No wonder we didn't really want rail. We wanted maglev. But the people in power were bipolar and did not know what it was that we said we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
I love it.
Anyway, you know, this is, you sit back and, you know, and some, inevitably, I'm going to walk out of here and somebody goes, you better be careful. No, I don't think I have to be careful with these people because they're openly admitting that they're bipolar. You know, I might get beat to death with a bunch of roses, you know, or chocolate candy thrown at me, you know. But the state prosecutor said Chun had no authority to take a success fee or bonus and that his acts were deliberate and deceptive.
Well, somebody understood.
Well, maybe they brought into question his mental and contested that, or maybe his mental capacity still stands. I don't know, but it is what it is. But the quote, the defendant himself is a sophisticated individual who had it all and wanted more, said Deputy Attorney General Mark Miyahiro, who opposed Chan's request for deferral or probation. Chan, a graduate of the University of California, Berkeley Law School, has been practicing law since 1977 and was a partner in his law firm. Although Chan pleaded no contest, cooperated by being interviewed, and returned the money in his possession immediately, the serious nature of the crime warrants 10-year prison term, Miyahiro said, argued. According to state prosecutors, Chan orchestrated the scheme by requesting more money than was needed from Hui Unico to pay off claims and kept the surplus. Quote, he was biting the very hand supporting his lifestyle, Miyahiro said. In one case, he settled an insurance claim for more than $2.5 million, but requested that Hui Unico transfer to his firm's client trust account $5.7 million. Well, 7 looks like a 2. If you're bipolar, 7, it could be a mistake because the claim was $2.5 million, but he wrote him and told him that he wanted 5.7. 7 looks like a 2 somewhat, and then the 5 was misplaced. So, I got it. He never mentioned a success fee. Wow, funny.
What's a success fee? I'm sorry, I don't understand success fee.
Apparently, the claim was Wayne Metcalf, another Democrat.
Yeah.
Democrat sound alarm. Let's go. When we hear the word Democrat again, we all clap. Day! And then throw up, you know, because it's sickening what is going on in this town. They know better. But of the $2.3 million surplus, Chan wrote a check to himself for $1,036,000 to George Oda, chief operating officer and president of the Hui Unico, and and a little more than $1 million to Michael Chong of Adjusting Services of Hawaii's for, quote, consulting fees, Amir here said. In another instance, he requested $3.9 million to resolve a case that had been actually settled for a little more than $247,000.
Jeez.
Boy. Oh, well, I better learn to count a little better because this, you know, but you're so loose with the money, right?
Right. I mean, just how do you write a check for that much money? And the bank doesn't question it?
The remainder was transferred into the law firm's operating account. He then wrote a check to himself for $1.4 million, a check for $894,000 to Oda, and $1.3 million to Adjusting Services. To settle Hui Unico's outstanding tax liabilities, Chan requested $1.2 million from the company, when only $229,000 $1,000 or plus was owed. After the taxes were paid, he wrote a check to himself for $408,554. Another $239,000 went to ODA and $350,000 to Adjusting Services. Chan apologized to the court and expressed the shame and humiliation he has gone through because of his action. Quote, "The worst part is knowing it all. It's all my fault," he said. "I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. But I'm taking the cash and running. Screw you guys."
But,
no, that
yeah, but you know, an apology is when I step on your toe. You say, "Oh, I'm sorry." That's an apology. This is not, this far begs the question of what the hell is an apology? And if I lost my house and you didn't pay me, your apology does not get me a house.
Meanwhile, Kimo Keala Kukui was caught with a marijuana wrapping paper and sentenced to 17 years in jail and will never see the light of day because of who he is and the way you say his name. Right on for the Democratic Party in this town. Isn't that cool? I mean, how about that? We a man can take that much money and then in turn, how did he get to that stage and in that position to suck the blood of the people and the companies? How did he get that? Who facilitated him? You know, he didn't do it himself because he's, as according to his attorney, he's bipolar. Which means possibly that when some people were working during the daytime, he thought it was, he would sleep and then come out at night.
I don't know, because of his actions,
it wasn't transparency.
It's all too much for me.
Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Oh, hi, Carol. Listen, you know, this so saddens me. You know, like they say, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's pretty much what's happened to the Democratic Party in Hawaii through the years. I've been in Hawaii for 45 years. I've seen, I saw when we were so progressive. And people of the Democratic Party was all about fairness and equity and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? They've gotten fat and lazy, and you know, the biggest thing, they've gotten greedy, greedy, and they've, you know.
That was the mantra, that was the BS that was spread, that they're no more caring than Republicans are. I know Republicans that will give their left hand for you if your hands are broken. I know that, and I know many of them care.
Sure.
But the sad part here is that these people tell you they're, we care. About ourselves. They let them finish the sentence. See, when they say, we care, you say, then you go, for who? And they say, for me.
Well, I remember the earlier days, and I mean, back in the 70s, and where you know, I mean, Patsy Meek was one of my heroes. I mean, there's, you know, another very progressive liberal Democrat that were just, you know, but there again, you know, it's, they've gotten, hey, I got power, I got money, I got authority, I can do what I want.
Yeah.
That's what's happened, I'm sorry. It's really sad because we see the results every day.
The traffic, the cost of living,
the environmental damage, it just goes on and on, you know.
But hey, man. You look at the mayor, he got his palaka shirts on, his $300 shoes, and you look at Ige, he gets up every morning and runs, and you know what they all have in common? This is what's shameful. They have in common is that they go to the public trough. You don't see any of them saying, I'm successful in a Fortune 500 company that I founded. You ever notice that, huh?
Yeah, right.
You none of them can claim that. Even I'm in banking. Yeah, but you were given a job at Pacific Bank or Central Pacific. You didn't come in here and create a financial tower of power and then expanded it. No, you found your way into the halls of government.
Hey, buddy, they got their P-cards, man, so they can go to the hostess bar and get that girl, man.
Or you know what I hear in that comment there, Dave?
What's that?
You're jealous. You didn't get invited.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, there was a one time too here in Hawaii where shame was really taken seriously. You were shamed, and so you. But now it just seems like they don't. You know, the powers that be just. Big deal. We're a power man.
Hold on one second. Let me get to. There's another caller.
Sure.
Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question. Thanks for calling.
Yo, what's up, Carol Cox? What's up, Dave?
You got a comment or question?
Not really. I'm going.
Okay, well, not much is up. I'll talk to you later. Some people should control their kids. But it's all right. I can't raise them and talk to them at the same time.
Anyway, it so saddens me because I truly love Hawaii.
Hold on, Dave. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you very much for taking my call. This isn't pertinent to the person about whom you're discussing, but it is in terms of the government here in Hawaii. I testified 5 times in 2 weeks before the city council. I've been over 7 years opposed to steel wheel on steel rail, and I'm not going to talk about that. But what happens is you have generalized, I perhaps do this often too. I don't know if we can generalize about all members of the city council. Let me give you an example.
Can I just interfere with you on that?
Sure.
I ain't in the mood of defending and discussing how many and not. I'm speaking specifically of this. I never mentioned the city council. Can we hold that for another day and we'll serve tea and crumpets to...
I
don't want to get in the mode of talking about who's good, who's naughty. This is a specific subject. You got any specific comments about this?
Well, do you want to know the difference between two city council members and how they vote?
Not at this time, unless you're saying that they're going to vote, one is going to vote to submit a document or a legislation to remove her name from the governor, suggesting that governor...
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, you got to understand something. I can't sit here and start talking about who is nice about... We don't know any of these people. I'm bringing to you a specific subject. If we can talk, we'll have one day of a free-for-all as all the nice people and all the nice things they do in government. But right now we got homeless issues, we got taxes bleeding through the nose and you know where else, and we got many issues, many schools can't be, and either some of them are good, some of them are bad on some of the issues, but then many of them are good, but they also vote with reservations and all of that. What is reservations? Why can't you have one stance? I vote yes or no. So, and the person that votes that, and then every one of them is a good person. Every single one of them in there, at a time in their life, they're good. But we're not talking, this discussion is about the good politician. It's about the person who was appointed by the governor that raises concerns. And Carol Fukunaga is a nice lady, but I'm under the impression and was told that initially she didn't want porta potties in Chinatown. But now she has porta potties and it's the love of her life. Nice lady. Great. But then I'd like to also know how her relationships is with the family and the monies that come with Servco and all of that. You understand? So I'm not in the mode of judging people for what good they are in that sense. This is about government and an entity that ripped the public off. That somehow...
Yeah, well, I just get... both the government, state and city, are so rigged nowadays, you know. And however, we do have our minor victories. You know,
yeah.
Farmer land, natural resources, another thing. And then again, that tells you about the principle. If people get involved enough and they really voice and get together and let them know what's happening, then the legislators, they say, oh, whoa, we better think about voting for this character and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it can work, but it takes a lot of hard work and it takes a lot of people persisting and everything else, and that's the one that Yeah. You got to talk people into doing it. That's a horrible part of it.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, and but again, in the earlier caller there, I don't know. I got to stop speaking eubonics and all. When I say, it's not that I don't agree with you that these people are nice. It's just it's against the grain. It has nothing to do with. I don't sit here and tell you how nice they are. I try to pick a specific topic, a specific incident, and then speak to that. The public can then go away and draw their own conclusion.
It's really not about nice either. Abercrombie can be nice.
Oh, Abercrombie was a nice guy. He was one of the guys, you could pick him up and he was so cuddly and you could rub his beard and, man, he could do,
you know what?
And then that yellow taxi that he had, oh, my goodness. A little teddy bear. He was so jolly and so nice.
Well,
but now we got Kakaako that was built. We had PLDC.
Yeah, right.
We had the suspension of the environmental laws. We got questions. And you understand?
Yeah. Well, yeah, nice doesn't work, does it?
Nice guy. I'll be the first to tell you. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But again, we're not discussing today.
We're talking about serious issues is what we're talking
about. Right. We're talking about a man that is a nice guy that had our trust, and then all overnight, all of a sudden, the public told him, "You gotta go, brother. We don't like your policies. We don't like your politics. We've tolerated you for so long, and we've loved you and held you in a cuddly fashion, but we can't embrace you any longer." That's the politics I'm looking for. That's how we're going to solve when we say, well, oh, the turnout in voting is maybe impactful. No. It's the ability for them to present themselves and repackage themselves come election time, and we go, nice guy.
Yeah.
Really, he's the same guy. He just put on a new shirt and a few words in his mantra, and he's the same guy.
Yeah.
Already predisposed and it's predetermined who he's going to vote for, who he's going to lobby for, who has direct access to you, to his office with money, and you and I don't have that access.
The good old boys club is what it is, and some girls.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, we're going to be talking about many other things, but Richard, you can call back, but, you know, again, I've 1,000 times about these people and the niceties. When Captain Kangaroo has a show on there here, we'll start going there with the blue wicked.
This is a good example of this. I was at one of the little forums on the homeless, and Mr. Kippen was there, and he that's the time I revealed his pay. And that guy, once we got out in the hallway there, and he says, "Dave, you know, I work 7 days a week," and we were basically trying to defend his pay. And I said, "Well, but nothing seems to be happening. Actually, the homeless problem gets worse and worse. So, I mean, how are you earning this pay?" Oh, he didn't like that. He didn't like to hear that, you know. But I said, you know, we the taxpayers are paying this pay, and we're expecting, like you just said, that we have trust in you, and we're depending on you to perform and come up with something, you know.
Well, here's why I'm always concerned, and what triggers excitement in me and get me riled up is that, see, I know for a fact that the city government violates the rights of human beings, and some of the human beings involved just don't have a house for whatever reason, and they find themselves living in parks and on the street. And that's one. But I also know that there's legislation, and these legislations that are being written and advanced, and they seem to find a way to be approved overnight. It's like an instant processing machine. And where is the sensitivity? The mayor can come up with some cockamamie idea, and that is, to the core, violates the rights of these citizens, human beings. And then we have this practice of seizing their properties, seizing their IDs, their bus passes, and all of that. And putting it in a garbage can in Halava. Now we've said these things a thousand times. We've reported them, and many other people have talked. And the city council in total, majority, votes for them to pass these bills. You see?
Yeah.
These
are so pathetic too. You know that housing first, what a bunch of nonsense.
Well,
do you know the year is almost over? It's going on 10 months now since they start the housing first program. And they had enough to put about 115 people into housing.
Where is the city council?
You know how many people they put in now? About 41 people.
Yeah, but not the people that put in. I want to know that you remember just recently they tried to sell the city property, and it fell through because of hook and crook. And I haven't heard any more discussion. And we know that HUD there was big spending and misappropriation of monies. I haven't seen a city councilman amongst any of them throw themselves on the sword to say, look, you're wrong. I'm a part of this council, but I don't see that kind of protest. So when the rights of human beings and people, their dignity is stripped from them through legislation and through action and official action, I'm sorry. And by the way, Linda Chu Takayama sits in that administration that chases human beings around like they are stray cats and stray dogs, and treat them, and then in turn have no reluctancy or dignity about themselves to stand up and say, somewhere in this process, we have failed. They are here because of failed policies. They are here because of poor management on our part.
For years. I mean, this goes back about 30 years.
Yeah.
All the way back to the Reagan's time, you know.
Reagan's time? Started. Well, how about Reagan, or wasn't there Democrats here before Reagan?
Oh yeah.
See,
you're right.
Yeah, don't play the R card.
Oh yeah.
See, that's why we find ourselves in these predicaments, because we always many times I hear Republicans talking, it always gravitate to the Democrats. But you listen carefully and listen and see how much blame is placed improperly on the on the Republican. Trust me. You know what, man? There's more people in the jailhouse now than ever, and you know? Oh, yes, you can blame those Republicans for that, and that's George Bush. Well, really? Well, what do they have to do with the state government in Hawaii?
Yeah, right.
You see? Yeah. So I think we're being lied to in 1,001 ways, and we just got to say...
By the way, you heard the latest, right? They're going to make an ordinance so they can't, buy all the park and a few other places. They're going to make this ordinance. So, you know, at first it was sit and lie. You couldn't do it in the business districts. Now they're going to expand it, and then they'll keep on expanding it. And tell me, where do people go?
Well,
if I'm not mistaken, we're all kind of physical beings, you know. We take up space. Somewhere.
Well, let me just tell you something, and so the you out there with sensitive ears and big hearts are very sensitive. I don't really get too excited about any of this because black people and people of color and throughout the mainland in U.S. states, there are communities, even today, that they have a policy, an unspoken, unwritten, but it was written in the old days where blacks could not be in town within the city limits after 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So when we say that this is civil rights violation, we know, because we know historically it has happened.
We're the new blacks.
Well, no, you're not the new blacks. You're the human being that this system. You're the human being like we are human beings.
Of course. Yeah,
that the insensitive human beings project on us. That's all it is. It worked on us. So why not employ it on them to keep when you hand off this district to Howard Hughes and all, and you want this beautiful scene. You don't want dark-skinned people with shopping carts or homeless. Yeah. You don't want them around because it reminds you of how wealthy you are, you see.
Joe, have you been kind of lately? It's awful. Well, you know, they just opened the Target store lately. And, you know, the goon squad, the security guards, and the police officers out there, they are just really mean to folks that are homeless. I mean, that town is reeking in money now mm-hmm. because they get the tourists there and they spend their money. And so, I mean, they're just pushing homeless folks.
Well, we have the Democrat in the state of Hawaii. We have the Democratic Party to thank for that. All of our woes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, and until we start singing that song, and quit mumbling and stumbling when it comes to these issues, then we can call them on it, and hold their feet to the fire. And when we find them advancing another person in this capacity, such as Takayama, we call them on it. You see?
It's
that simple.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, guys.
I gotta catch a bus.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
Alrighty. So, guys, I'm gonna shift gears here and talk about the DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources.
Okay, that's a big one.
Yeah, it is. And let's see here. Carla, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, hello, good morning, Carol. This is Zini speaking.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good timing. I just said I was going to be talking about DLNR, and you and I spoke earlier, and so without further delay in the drum roll, well, I don't have a drum.
Okay.
What's
okay.
happening?
So, my remark, it's regarding DLNR. So, mm-hmm. As you know, on the 13th of March of this year, I was assaulted at Kaena Point. And mm-hmm. I submitted two emails, one of them on the 15th of March and another one last week, and complaining, putting down a formal complaint, and I've never heard from DLNR.
Mm-hmm. Now, for the listeners out there, this is Zini, and Zini is the one that most of you may have seen on TV where someone attacked her or knocked her phone out of her cell phone out of her hand out at Kaena Point, some of you. And she has filed a complaint with the DLNR. And go ahead and finish your story. And have you heard any results or any callbacks or anything?
Nothing. I haven't received anything, not even an acknowledgement receipt of the email, nothing at all. So I know nothing from that side.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is the DLNR, and you were assaulted, you're saying, and then you file a complaint to ask
yes.
them to investigate, and now almost a month?
A month.
And they haven't even contacted you at all?
Nothing at all. I don't know whether they received the emails or they didn't or they're investigating or they're not. I just don't know anything at all.
Mm. Well, I would think if they're investigating, they would have contacted you to get your formal statement from you for you know.
I would guess so, but you never know.
but then, you know, the DLNR, you know what that stands for?
No, I don't.
Do little or nothing for the resources.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah. That's what they mean, they stand for. And that's not an assault on the officers. And here's, I have just so happened to have something that may give us a little insight as to why you haven't had anybody to call you or respond to you. You see, there's a practice in the state DLNR.
Uh-huh.
And this practice is called ROPA, R-O-P-A, whereby the administrator, for any reason, can relieve you as an officer of your police authority.
Uh-huh.
So, in the area of Kaena Point and those back on up in what they call District 3 in that areas, at least three of the officers are currently on ROPA.
Okay.
And that means that they have to turn in, and in fact, this is a formal letter, a portion of I'm going to read. During this time, you are restricted from performing law enforcement field duties, and you are hereby relieved of police authority. You are required to turn in your department-issued service weapon, badge, identification card, and government vehicle immediately upon receipt of this letter and refrain from wearing the department uniform. And in this instance, things so manini, so small, the allegation is that you showed up to work early and you went to work early than your scheduled time. So therefore, we're going to put you on ROPA. Now, the question is that abuse of authority? And the bigger question is, then if you remove these men from work and make them report to the office and they have to drive their own cars and leave the guns and badges at home or give it to the office, who's protecting the resources?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's responding to the complaints such as yourself were filing? You understand. So my apologies, and we'll ask the DLNR as to why they have not responded to you. And I believe part of the explanation is that because this agency is so petty and so manini in their thinking and their priorities are misplaced, that they believe that something as manini as this should take precedent and punishing an officer. By the way, I believe that in reading all of these things, a very good lawsuit is in the making. But again, this is what, when we say, who did Ige appoint and nominate for chairman of the DLNR, these are the real issues out there, because we can get the most smartest, brilliant person caring about the environment as we can find. But if in the lower rankings are doing this kind of stuff, who's implementing the policies and the rules and who's enforcing the law?
Yeah.
So you file. Have you been able to serve your TRO that you had sought?
No, that hasn't been served either.
Mm-hmm. But you've written the organization. I noticed on the website the organization was touting or featuring on the website that the person that assaulted you was one of their members or director of some division or some portion of their program. The Maui, what was it? The Monk Seal Foundation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you haven't been able to serve them yet, but did you file a formal request with the Maui, the Monk Seal Foundation?
Yes, I did. Okay. I haven't heard anything back either.
Okay. And so the listeners out there, the Monk Seal Foundation and others, they post when the Monk Seal is hauled out on the shoreline or on the beach or what have you. They put a rope around them and ask the public to stay away to protect and not disturb the monk seals, and you are participating in that program as an individual, not as that organization, correct?
I don't have anything to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see a seal, I personally keep away from it, and
mm-hmm.
I advise other people to do so, because at the end of the day, they're wild animals and they can bite.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got nothing to do with them.
Let me ask you, speaking of that, let's get past your the assault, of you being assaulted, as you described.
Uh-huh.
But do you see many dope care officers out there enforcing and patrolling at Cayena Point?
I have never seen anybody at Cayena Point.
You've never, I stepped on you, you've never seen anyone, any officer?
No.
And you
no.
go out there frequently, am I right?
I do. I go twice a week, and a friend of mine goes three times a week, and we've never seen anybody. When I have called, they have turned up, but they turn up 4 or 5 hours later, so it's already too late.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never anybody.
Yeah.
And the seals get disturbed, people all over them, they don't allow them to haul out or to sleep or rest.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sad.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Carol, can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course.
Who assaulted you? Was it someone from the department or someone else? I don't know the facts here.
Go ahead, Zini. Who was it?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear very well.
Who was it that assaulted you?
I'm not sure I'm at liberty of saying the name on air.
I mean, you've already gone and sought a TRO out on them, and that's public record.
Yes, well, it's a Montfield Foundation member called Leslie McPherson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what I was asking. I don't need the person's name, but was it an official of some kind?
But and you haven't been successful, and the police haven't been successful in filing or issue
no,
serving the
no.
TRO.
Okay.
Now, again, I'm not going to defend because I don't know. But it seems to me, like Carol was saying, if they keep cutting back on personnel and cutting back and cutting back, as big as the shoreline is, how do we protect anything?
Well, hold on. Let me make sure there's clarification here.
No, I meant they do this ROPA thing.
I know. Let me clarify
yeah.
that. When you use the term... what is it, cutback? Or this isn't a cutback. This is an abuse of authority. This is
okay.
where you have men and financing and legislators have set aside monies for specific positions and number of men and equipment. And within the rank and file, the management abuses their authority by placing these men on ROPA.
Okay, so my question then becomes... How can we, if that's going on, how can we expect protection of these animals and the shoreline?
Well, you can't but this is something you and I don't know because the officer, it's a private matter, and if you call and ask the administrators, they're not going to tell you because it's under investigation, so it's an abuse of authority, and then it's defrauding the public because here's another thing. For each officer, they have a car. They
yeah.
must go to certification and training. Some of these men have been on it longer than 8 months and having to come to the office. They, on an average, this is a guess now, but let's say $150 per week to gas up the patrol vehicle.
Right.
Now, if you have three officers, that's 4 weeks times 150 times three. What happens to that money? So is this money being created as a slush fund and that the supervisors can use this money? And what do they do at the end of the year? Do they account for this money? So there's an incentive to defraud the government by placing men on ROPA. And mind you, one of them was that, like I said, is as simple as give an example. They say that we're going to... The initial notification of ROPA for one individual was in October, right, of 2014. And they had scheduled a meeting to a hearing for 2015 of January 30th, 2015. On January 21, they wrote him a letter saying they're going to cancel the meeting. Then they said, we reschedule you for March 13th. And then they write him a letter on February 25th and said, oh, it's canceled. We're going to redo it. And on and on, on and on and on, right? This is the abuse. This is the what has happened. And mind you, this all found its birthplace during the ILA administration, the William Bill ILA. So those of you that are out there say, oh, bring back Will, and we think that the governor should bring him back, whatever you think. There's this and many other things that I'm going to be talking about. And this is just wrong, wrong, wrong. Now, meantime, I'm chasing a story where there is a motor that's worth about $10,000 to $15,000. The motor had a broken part. It was replaced for $5. The officers that handled that procurement and handled payment for the motors ran up a bill for more than 7 years at Central Marine Supply, or Central Marine LLC there on Sand Island Road. And in turn, the allegations are this gentleman takes a motor that was broken and delivers it to this company and as payment for his seven-year-old bill. They, in turn, gave the motor. Now, how can you fine a man and punish three people for having a daily or EMS, they call it, enforcement management system? How can you put someone on administrative leave for 7-8 a year month, and then in turn, here's a guy that can fly willy-nilly with his P-card and run up a bill and then pay that bill by giving an engine, and that priority receiving the engine fixes it. It's reported that they took a $5 part, repaired it, and sold it, and these engines, and then the state had to buy a new engine to replace that engine. Why aren't we seeing that kind of things come to surface and being these people being punished in the right way? So we're going to be asking those questions, and we think that we deserve an answer. And Ms. Case, or whoever it is that comes in, the governor needs to create a policy and redo the DLNR. And again, I've told you about the McGilvray, the DAR person in DLNR, where Mr. Isla signed off and allowed this gentleman to become certified as a diver, open ocean rescue diver. Yet he says that he can't travel and sit on a seat and coach on an airline, so therefore he had to fly first class. Abuse. Funds. We're already strapped for monies. And then there's another case that we're following, and we're going to post all of this at carolcox.com and the documents that supports it. And there's complaints, petition of 25 employees. So here's what appears to be happening. Just like we have the Nature Conservancy being appointed, the head, now former head, being appointed as chairman, I've said to you there's a number of actions that suggest that there's an effort to privatize the DLNR, circumventing the positions that are mandated, that are set aside, the civil service positions. So those people have filed a complaint. And in particular, the acting chairman has failed to act on these complaints, where Mr. Isla promoted a person that had an English degree, but it calls for a biology degree, promoted her, and upon getting blowback from the employees, he in turn raised her ratings as from an SR-22 to an SR-24. But there's greater detail. But you can't have this kind of behavior going on and then expect the resources to be protected. You can't. I don't care who you are. And this then gives leeway or a bit of explanation as to why you can find the threatened and the threatened sea turtles in the garbage cans now, because we don't have the patrols that should be, that our legislators have funded these positions to patrol. If a officer is acting up, it should be done timely because of interests of his rights or her rights, due process, and the interests of the people. Right now, both parties at DLNR DOCARE, the Department of Conservation and Enforcement, Resource Enforcement, are acting. Temporary acting positions. So where is the value in that they've placed it, the importance has DLNR placed on the protection of the resources? It calls for a big change, ladies and gentlemen. And so when we say Carlton Ching was no good and for the position, will the new commissioner or will the new chairman be receptive and understand the totality of the shortcomings that has been presented in this process?
Well, I can't answer that, but let me go back to this engine and the credit cards and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I sat through a hearing and listened to a person who was given testimony for the budget, mm-hmm. and it was about some trucks. And this, the person that was dedicated to do the question and answer, different parts of his department had sent him their budget. And when the legislators asked specifics, he couldn't answer it because, oh, that's somebody else's department. He's just following what they gave him. You know, they funnel all this little stuff up.
Well, when
so
we say
they don't even see the person that's doing the, that's, you know, given the task working with the legislators for the budget, and we all sat there like, why was he given this when he can't answer the questions?
Well, again, it speaks of the entire system as being dysfunctional. But understand something. As I've described to you, the Community Fisheries Enforcement Unit, that they have one on Maui, and I read to you last week, I think, touting in the Abercrombie administration with Isla, touting how successful it was. How on earth can you invent something, put it in place in a few months, and then claim that you have increased the population of the fish in the state, when it's a big lie? When many of the cases that they were claiming they had successfully done and investigated were part of the unit that was not part of the CFEU. So this entire process, ladies and gentlemen, listeners out there, our resources are under seizure. The DLNR is under seizure from private interests. They may have the resources in mind, but they have a specific agenda with specific areas that they want to protect. But many of the other areas are not going to fall on the radar. So I submit that whoever and whatever comes as managers, we need to hold everybody's feet to the fire and ask the questions, you know. And it has been prevalent everywhere. Laura Thielen had her problems or inadequate management and understanding, where she appointed a person. Randy Award made sure that he got the position as chief of enforcement acting and allowed him to fly from Maui to come here and work on a daily basis and draw per diem. And then named him as the permanent administrator and tolerated that. And then he starts to assault, in his official capacity, the officers, impacting them. So we have a big problem here. And it's no wonder that we find sea turtles in the trash bins, because we don't have the deterrence. We don't have the men out there in the field. And I must tell you, if you see a game warden, 99.9% of them want to work, and they will be there. It's just that one sliver of sleaze that have somehow found their way into the top, and it continually to invite this practice. Nobody with a good conscience would ever submit themselves and participate in a ROPA process when they know that the resources need to be protected, when they know we're dealing with fragile and irreplaceable resources. They wouldn't.
Well, my question to you, with the new administrator, is how do we make sure she knows all of this?
Well, you can tell her to contact me, but I don't know how. The point is,
I don't know her. But well, how do we make sure that she knows down in the belly of the beast all of this is going on?
Well, we'll find out if she's receptive. Does she reach out? Does she listen? We'll know, and we'll see. I've never been contacted by any of them. They just piss and moan when they learn that I've written an article that shows up on TV and go, "Oh, bruh, why you do that to us?" Well, let me stand back and ask you why you do this to the people. Why you do this to the resources? Well, you go to the legislators and ask for money. My concern is this. I'm trying to follow up on something that Mr. Ige voted against, a $5 million funding for DLNR. I don't have the specifics, I'm told, about that, but I hope that's not true. Because if it is, that then suggests that he really doesn't have a value and importance of the protecting the resources either.
Well, I can't obviously say from an inside. However, early in his administration, a very dear friend of mine, they all were called into his meeting, and about the department, I guess he went through department after department, and she came away really depressed because she said he absolutely does not understand what we do.
Well, he's been a senator, but we'll see. And again, we have to not pay much attention to it. And I don't know. I'm concerned. But we'll get back to you guys next week, and we'll talk more. And go to carolcox.com. And you will be able to see in the next day or so. We're going to put up the complaints. We'll talk about the rope. We'll give you greater details. We're still chasing this boat. And, again, you see, the reason I take this path is that the ethics commissioner, Mr. I'll think of his name in a minute, but he believes that he can't take complaints from people like me and the public because we have an axe to grind. So be it. Well, we'll try to grind that axe outside of his purview. And we'll talk to you next week. Aloha.
Aloha.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Pretending that I'm doing well. My need is such, I pretend. Can tell. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Adrift in a world of my own. I play the game, but to my real shame, you've left me to dream all alone. Conceal. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be, but I'm not. You see, I'm wearing my heart like a crown. Still around. Too real is this feeling of make believe. Too real when I feel what my heart can't conceal. Yes, I'm the great pretender. Just laughing and gay like a clown. A crown, pretending that you're still around.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all. Remember this house. This was the land that he worked by hand. It was the dream of an upright man. There was a room that was filled with love. It was the love that I was proud of. This is the life that he planned. On the love, the same old love. In the house that Jack built.
The house that Jack built.
Remember this house. There was a fence that held our love.
Yes, it
there was.
There
was a gate that he walked out of.
This has been the Carol Cox Show. Every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.